Chapter 25.
What?
Anakin sputtered around the yellowish paste he was already having trouble swallowing.
Are you Jedi? Unu repeated. The question is simple.
But what makes you ask it? Anakin said. If I were Jedi, would I be a captive?
The Shapers have one captive Jedi. Rumor has it, others are on this moon. And you... No one seems to remember you being brought here. As well, you do not act like a slave somehow. You seem too unbent.
She eyed him speculatively. Rumor also says that Jedi sometimes allow themselves to be captured.
Well, I didn't allow myself to be captured, Anakin said.
He figured that wasn't a lie, since he hadn't been captured at all. He wouldn't be captured now, either. He was alone with Unu, and she was no warrior. He readied himself, trying to keep his breathing normal. He didn't want to hurt Unu. She'd treated him like more of a person than she had to. That wasn't much, but he couldn't discount it. Then he noticed something about the set of her eyes.
You wanted me to be Jedi, didn't you?
I've disappointed you.
Unu sighed and touched her gaze back to the distance.
If you were Jedi, you would have attacked me by now, she said.
You believed that, and you still asked me anyway. Why would you take such a risk?
There is no risk.
Warriors are hidden near here. I voiced my fears to them.
Her expression crumpled into chagrin. The hairs on Anakin's neck prickled up.
Where were the Watchers?
He couldn't see anyone.
Would turning in a Jedi have earned you out of the Shamed Ones?
Not in and of itself,
she said a little wistfully.
Only the gods can change my condition. But I should like to meet one of these Jedi.
And the discovery of a Jedi might give Yun Shuno much leverage to intercede for me.
You've mentioned her before. She's your superior.
She's a goddess infidel.
The goddess of the Shamed Ones. The only one who can make me a true Yu Zhan Vong.
Oh, return to your work.
They started again, she stroking the blossoms bald and he cutting out the lambents.
How does one become shamed? Anakin asked.
Another impolite question, Unu said.
But her tone was light, belying the chiding.
Some of us are born so. Others are cursed for misdeeds or sins.
I've heard that some shamed ones do not think they deserve their status,
Anakin said as casually as possible.
She barked a harsh laugh.
Deserve? What is deserve? We merely are.
She looked back at him, her expression suddenly knowing.
Ah, you speak of Vua Rapung, the one who brought you to the prefect of clearing fields.
That might be his name. I'm not sure. But he muttered some things, not to me.
He hardly seemed to know I was there. He is insane, Vua Rapung, Unu said.
Once he was a great warrior.
Now he is nothing.
He cannot bear it, so he invents lies.
Perhaps he even believes them.
Lies?
He claims a Shaper infected him with something to produce the marks of shame from spite.
Why? Anakin asked.
Because she loved him, Unu said, and he spurned her.
Love?
Somehow, it had never occurred to Anakin that Yu Zhan Vong fell in love.
Yes, but his story is impossible.
How so?
More ignorance.
Because the gods who govern such things, the lovers Yun Xin and Yun Ka, would never weave passions between a warrior and a shaper.
Yun Yu Zhan eternally punishes the twin gods for their own transgressions. They would never dare his wrath again.
It is not possible, and so Rapung's ravings are those of insanity. He is merely cursed, like the rest of us. Of late he has become even more erratic. I think the intendants will destroy him soon, if they have not already.
Destroy him?
Shamed ones must show usefulness and humility.
We do the work no true caste Yu Zhan Vong may dirty their hands with.
If we do not do these things, we are not worth feeding. Her head came up.
You have concern for Vua Rapung? I have concern for all living beings, Anakin said.
And now you sound like a Jedi again, she said.
How do you know so much about the Jedi philosophy, Anakin wondered. Where would a shamed one get such information? Why would she be interested?
Tell me, Unu went on, would a Jedi be concerned about the fate of a shamed one? As concerned as he would be for a person of high caste?
Yes. I have known Jedi. They protect all life.
Not Yuuzhan Vong. Jedi kill Yuuzhan Vong.
Only when they must, Anakin replied. Jedi do not like to kill.
They are not warriors, then?
Not exactly, not from what I know. They are protectors.
Protectors. And they protect everyone?
Everyone they can. She chuckled again a bit uneasily.
An amusing lie. The sort of lie that gives hope to those who do not deserve it. A destructive lie. Some shamed ones even...
She broke off again, this time angrily.
How is it you make me talk so, infidel? Work and do not speak. Ask me no more questions.
That night Anakin crept from the slave quarters. It was no great task. For most slaves, there was no escape from the camp itself. If they wanted to waste the precious hours of sleep they were allotted, the Yuuzhan Vong didn't prevent it. Reaching the fields was more difficult, but Anakin had plenty of experience with stealth. In a few moments, by the light of the orange gas giant, he knelt in the lambent field. The plants lisped softly, like a nighttime breeze through dark treetops. Beyond the perimeter of the camp, across the river, he faintly felt the life of the jungle. Somewhere inside of it, in a bed of aches and misery, he knew Tahiri's fading touch. He found the last of the harvested lambents and knelt beside the first of the next day's harvest, staring for a long moment at the faintly illuminated stalk. Then, hardly daring to breathe, he reached for the swollen blossom and began to stroke exactly as he had seen Unu do hundreds of times. The petals were as soft as silk, rubbing easily from his fingers, and Anakin felt a faint touch, like an electrical shock, traveling up his arm. It was neither pleasant nor unpleasant, but more like the first taste of a food so exotic his tongue had no baseline for judging it. As he stroked, the feeling deepened, and finally he felt not just his fingers rubbing the flower, but also the blossom being rubbed. He was the lambent for a moment, and not only felt it wakening, but felt himself awakened. He continued until the small hum in his head was louder, more obvious than any impulse from the other plants, until the pod was smooth. Then he blinked and carefully searched around him for movement. Here in the camp, he was nearly blind and deaf. He couldn't even use the jungle moon's native life to sense what danger might be coming. If he couldn't see it and hear it, it wasn't there. But his eyes found no shadows creeping, his ears registered no faint susurrus of motion, and so, producing his spurred thumb, he cut into the plant and stripped away the husk until he had the gem inside. He gripped it tight in his fingers, and almost without asking it, it flared into gentle radiance.
Yes,
he hissed. Willing it dark, he clenched his fist tighter around it in a gesture of triumph. Then it was back across the fields and through the houses. They were not silent at night. He passed the shrine of Yunshuno and heard moaning within. Whispers drifted from other doorways, and here and there someone paced in the darkness, restless. Anakin kept going until he reached the edge of the star-shaped compound where he had exited the living boat. He slipped within. The pool shone with a gentle phosphorescence that did not reach far below the surface. Anakin felt with the force, hoping desperately his lightsaber was still there, where he had placed it days before. The water was murky. He could sense it in the force, but as if through a cloud. The crawfish and their aquatic cousins were sensible too, but somehow diffuse. It took longer than it should have for him to feel the play of life and current and energy in the heart of the shaper Damutek. But at last he had it in his mind, wavering like a mirage, but there. The current had carried his lightsaber to fetch at the edge of the compound, against a barrier that kept the fish in. He exerted his will, and his lightsaber shifted, moved, broke the surface, and came to rest in his hand. "Who's there?" a voice asked, from the shadows around the pool. Anakin stepped back quickly, heart running toward light speed, and withdrew into the darkness in the far corner of the compound. "Your pardon," he rasped, grateful for the teasel worm in his ear. He tried to make his voice sound as much like a Yuuzhan Vong's as possible. "I am no one ashamed one." The figure in the darkness shifted, and he could suddenly see more of her silhouette. Something was strange about her head. It wriggled like a nest of snakes, like nothing he had yet seen among the Yuuzhan Vong. "This is the compound of the Shapers," the woman's voice said. "You have no business here, shamed one." "I beg pardon, great one," Anakin said. "I wished only... I had hoped the waters of the succession pool would inspire me to beseech Yun Shuno persuasively." The silence stretched. "I should report you, you know. Only those shamed ones with passage pheromone are allowed here. I..." He heard a little gasp of pain. "Is anything the matter, great one?"
"No," she replied in a strained voice. "It is only my suffering. I came here to contemplate it. Go, shamed one. I would not interrupt my reverie over you. Go, leave me in peace, and count yourself fortunate. Thank you, great shaper, as you will."
And with that he withdrew. Sweat was coursing down his brow, and his limbs trembled slightly, but triumph was a supernova inside of him. He had what he needed now. The supernova cooled a little as he left the Damutek and padded back into the village of the Shamed Ones. He needed more than the lambent and the lightsaber. He needed time and solitude, and even the lenient Unu wasn't likely to give him that. But he also couldn't wait for Vua Rapung any longer. Unu was suspicious of him. Paul Rapung had voiced a similar suspicion that very first day. And Vua Rapung might be dead. So he needed to hide somewhere. Where? Puzzling over that, he ran headlong into someone. A Yuuzhan Vong cursed, and a strong hand knotted his hair. Startled, Anakin dropped both his lightsaber and the lambent, which flared into sudden light. In the illumination, a mutilated face stared down at him. "Vua Rapung," he gasped.
"Yes," the other growled.
"Quiet that lambent. Let go of me, then." The Yuuzhan Vong did so, and Anakin dropped to one knee, retrieving both items. "Be still," he thought at the lambent, picturing it dark. The light paled and vanished.
"What are you doing with that?"
Rapung snarled. "Never mind, I'm glad to see you. I've heard they tried to kill me," Rapung said shortly. "We must act now. Tonight or never." "We can't," Anakin said. "There's something I still have to do."
"Impossible. No, listen. You said one reason you wanted me was because of my lightsaber, right?" "It would help us a great deal," Rapung growled reluctantly. "Without it, I am not certain how we will circumvent the portals and safeguards."
He cocked his head.
"You lied to me? You have the weapon?
It doesn't work, but I can fix it. With the lambent, I can fix it."
"Do so then, and hurry."
"Even if I hurry, it could take a day or two."
"Again, impossible. We cannot hide for 2 days here. And if we go beyond the perimeter, we will never come back in."
"I need 2 days," Anakin said stubbornly.
"Tomorrow they will realize I am alive," Rapung said. "Unless you have a Jedi sorcery to make us invisible."
"No," Anakin said. "But listen. The temple that was here, the one built of stone, how was it destroyed?"
"What?" "A Damutek was landed on it. Its substance was dissolved and used to nourish the coral."
"But did they fill in the caverns below it?"
"Caverns?"
"Yes," Anakin said excitedly. "If they just flattened the temple with one of those Damuteks, the caverns underneath might still be there."
"Didn't you say that Damuteks drive down roots or something for water and minerals?"
Rapung swore.
"Of course," he said.
if there are indeed caverns of size below, and if the gods are with us. But of course they are. I am Vua Rapung."
He said this last as if repeating a mantra, and Anakin felt renewed apprehension, remembering Unu's opinion of Rapung. If there had indeed been an official attempt on his life, he might have gone from being a solenoid short of a transformer to a fused mess of circuits. But did it matter? Mad or not, Rapung was the closest thing to an ally Anakin had. Right now, he would take what he could get. Rapung kept talking, almost to himself, it seemed.
"They will think we have run into the jungle again. She will search for us there. Never in the very roots of her stronghold. Never below her very feet. But we will need Nulith breathers."
"You can get those, right?" Anakin asked.
"I can get them. But this is a risk," Rapung warned him. "If we are noticed entering the roots, we will be sealed there to die very long, very ignoble deaths."
"More ignoble than dying a shamed one?" Anakin shot back. "Besides, it never occurred to me you were worried by risk." He couldn't see Rapung's face, but he could imagine the glare there.
"A good thing you never thought that," Rapung replied. "A very good thing. As I said. Wait here."
And he was gone, leaving only his putrid scent and the shadow of his anger. Anakin was once again alone.